Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Bible Reading Plan podcast. My name is Ben Winder, and today is Tuesday, November 30th. Right now we're going through our Advent devotional guide based on the book of Jeremiah. And each day during this series we'll be reading a portion of the book of Jeremiah, and you'll also hear my thoughts on the passages read aloud from the Advent guide. Our scripture for today comes from Jeremiah 3:6 through 4:4. During the reign of King Josiah, the Lord said to me, "Have you seen what faithless Israel has done? She has gone up on every high hill and under every spreading tree and has committed adultery there. I thought that after she had done this, she would return to me, but she did not, and her unfaithful sister Judah saw it. I gave faithless Israel her certificate of divorce and sent her away because of all of her adulteries. Yet I saw that her unfaithful Judah had no fear. She also went out and committed adultery, because Israel's immorality mattered so little to her. She defiled the land and committed adultery with stone and wood. In spite of all this, her unfaithful sister Judah did not return to me with all her heart, but only in pretense, declares the Lord. The Lord said to me, 'Faithless Israel is more righteous than unfaithful Judah. Go proclaim this message toward the north. Return, faithless Israel,' declares the Lord. 'I will frown on you no longer, for I am faithful,' declares the Lord. 'I will not be angry forever. Only acknowledge your guilt. You have rebelled against the Lord your God. You have scattered your favors to foreign gods under every spreading tree and have not obeyed me,' declares the Lord. 'Return, faithless people,' declares the Lord. 'For I am your husband. I will choose you, one from a town and two from a clan, and bring you to Zion. Then I will give you shepherds after my own heart, who will lead you with knowledge and understanding. In those days when your numbers have increased greatly in the land,' declares the Lord, 'people will no longer say, 'The Ark of the Covenant of the Lord.' It will never enter their minds or be remembered. It will not be missed, nor will another be made. At that time they will call Jerusalem the Throne of the Lord, and all nations will gather in Jerusalem to honor the name of the Lord. No longer will they follow the stubbornness of their evil hearts. In those days, the people of Judah will join the people of Israel, and together they will come from a northern land to the land I gave your ancestors as an inheritance. I myself said, 'How gladly would I treat you like my children and give you a pleasant land, the most beautiful inheritance of any nation. I thought you would call me father and not turn away from following me. But like a woman unfaithful to her husband, so you, Israel, have been unfaithful to me,' declares the Lord. A cry is heard on the barren heights, the weeping and pleading of the people of Israel, because they have perverted their ways and have forgotten the Lord their God. Return, faithless people. I will cure you of backsliding. Yes, we will come to you, for you are the Lord our God. Surely the idolatrous commotion on the hills and mountains is a deception. Surely in the Lord our God is the salvation of Israel. From our youth, shameful gods have consumed the fruits of our ancestors' labor, their flocks and herds, their sons and daughters. Let us lie down in our shame and let our disgrace cover us. We have sinned against the Lord our God, both we and our ancestors. From our youth till this day, we have not obeyed the Lord our God. If you, Israel, will return, then return to me, declares the Lord. If you put your detestable idols out of my sight and no longer go astray, and if in a truthful, just, and righteous way you swear, 'As surely as the Lord lives,' then the nations will invoke blessings by him, and in him they will boast. This is what the Lord says to the people of Judah and to Jerusalem. Break up your unplowed ground, and do not sow among thorns. Circumcise yourselves to the Lord. Circumcise your hearts, you people of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Or my wrath will flare up and burn like fire because of the evil you have done. Burn with no one to quench it. I am all too familiar with the feeling of disgrace, being prone to lingering in the self-loathing of the recognition of my own failures. Perhaps this is never truer than when I have let someone down by my failure. You've perhaps felt the dread of an impending meeting with someone you've wronged or failed. In those moments, I have some anxiety about the response of the other person, running through scenarios in my head of what they might say and what shaped their anger, disappointment, or worse yet, confirmed suspicions might take. However, even that anxiety pales in comparison to the all too familiar feeling of having the truth of my own shortcomings revealed for another to see. There is perhaps nothing more exposing than admitting disgrace. If you've ever shared these feelings, I pray you have at least occasionally also shared the experience of being met in this moment of vulnerability by the overwhelming grace of the one you've wronged. There's perhaps nothing more beautiful than being exposed for the imposter you are and yet still being engulfed in the grace of the one you've hurt. Today's passage from Jeremiah pulls no punches about the shortcomings of God's people. In vivid, graphic detail, their sins are laid out. They have done the unimaginable. God describes their actions as worse than an adulterous spouse. Even the times when they appeared faithful have been nothing but pretense. Yet still, even still, God's grace meets them there. Exposed as sinners, their plan is to wallow in the shameful disgrace their sin has wrought. But God invites them to return to Him and in righteousness find blessing. They are invited to return, confess their sinfulness, and test the Lord's faithfulness. In acknowledging their guilt, they are surprised to find a God who is not angry forever, but who is faithful always. What might we take from this passage? When we have been wronged, we might pray to be so shaped by the grace of God we've encountered in Christ Jesus that we would hold no one's wrongs against them, but offer grace. And when it is we who have wronged others, we might be courageous enough, even in our disgrace, to return to them, confess our sinfulness, and there in that vulnerability open the door for the potential of grace. The promise of Advent, the hope in the coming of Christ, is that when we come to God with our disgrace, God meets us with beauty of grace beyond imagining. Return to God. Confess. Find God to be faithful always.